Luke chapter 10, verses 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? Verse 27. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Thanks, sir.
Monique, thank you for that beautiful song. Mm-hmm. I think that we all here are waiting to be face to face with our Redeemer. That's something that we pray about, we hope about, we talk about. And I know a lot of times I look at myself and all I can see is sin. Look in that mirror and you say you get a good image of what you look like. And I can see just plastered sin all over this body, mind, soul. It's terrible. And it's brought me down to a point. I remember one period of my life where you've heard of that text, tie a rope around your neck, throw the stone over and drown. And I've attempted that a few times. But God, for some reason, in his mercies, here I am.
Amen.
I just don't understand it. I like the Annette's version of it. Is God crazy? And she gives all these illustrations about how negative we perceive things, but yet how God perceives it is and sees things is totally different from what we perceive. And I think that's an awesome sermon she gave, and I encourage her to do part two and part three, because that was very inspirational and encouraging. I picked this verse, and if you notice, it says, who's my brother, who's my neighbor, and who's my brother? And I want to continue with that thought. But before we do, let me have a quick word of prayer. My Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, thank you once again for having this opportunity to be able to worship and praise your name. It's a wonderful privilege that we have to be able to share your word, even a person as myself. And I give you all the glory and honor. As I speak, I ask you to use me. I'm your instrument, Lord. I'm your servant. I bow before you so that you can anoint me through the words that I have to share, that very prudent with what Monique's mother had shared with her. Thank you, Father, once again for this wonderful opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Let's go back to Luke 10. Read 25 through 27, and we're going to go beyond that. And it says, this is the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, lawyers are trained that when they ask a question, they know the answer. And that's a given. And they better know the answer, because they might get surprised in the midst of their questioning. So, here, this particular lawyer is trying to assert himself as someone trying to prove himself. And he says, and he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he's answering and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So good answer. He asked a question. Christ threw the question back at him, and he gives a correct question. But it didn't stop there. Jesus continues. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he didn't stop there. I love Jesus, the way he always presented parables, stories, to try to get down to the person's level of understanding. And he gives them real simple, basic things that we can relate to. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, I don't think he was expecting this answer. But God, in his awesome way of reproving, at the same time trying to share a message that we should all adhere to, says to him, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of all his garments and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest, priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So now Jesus is giving an example of a priest, sees this person injured, and the priest, for whatever reasons, goes on the other side and just passes him by. And by chance, there came down a certain priest. Now, on the following one, it says, and likewise a Levite. Now, I'm not sure the difference here between a priest and a Levite. I know that the Levites were people who took care of the church and did everything that had to be done within the church. And I believe that they were also priests among them that did the preaching, but I could be wrong. So I think he's getting deep, and whatever he's telling him, this lawyer understands. He's trying to really get him to read between the lines, but he's careful how he presents that to him. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So they both did the same thing. They both saw the injured person and both passed by. And then it continues. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, in my mind, when I hear the word compassion, you know, only God can put that in your heart. I mean, to really have compassion for a person that you don't know, and he's trying to explain to him, this is your neighbor, you know. And then what stands out even most is a Samaritan that's taking the time out to really have compassion on this individual. He has no idea who he is. And he goes to him and he says, and he went. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now, compassion, there's degrees of it also. God put it upon this person to take care of him, dress his wounds, put him on his mule, and take him to an inn. The average person would figure, I did my duty, I gave him some money, I did what I could for him. That's the end, you know, and walks away. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes a little further. He says, and on the morrow when he departed, oh, I'm sorry, I went ahead of myself. He bound the wounds of the beast and he took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. Now, I'm assuming this is a man of wealth, or maybe a person who has business that's always traveling. It's not clear. The interesting thing is that the person he's speaking to at the inn must know him to give him enough confidence to say, you know me, I'll take care of whatever is going on over here. Just make sure everything is fine, and when I come back around this area, I'll take care of whatever expenses came out of your pocket. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor, and unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do likewise. And I like the way God presented that there's different people in different walks of life, and they can be Christians or they can be people of wealth or in so many different areas of standing. And yet he picked the Samaritan to actually show that the Samaritan was the one that had mercy and compassion. And Jesus in his wisdom is telling him as well as us that we should do likewise. And I've experienced that here. I've had where I've been through my downs and outs, and my brothers and sisters here prayed for me. My brothers and sisters here would always send notice through Brother Hugh or the pastor, so-and-so is asking for you and is praying for you. And I've seen it not just with me in particular, which is kind of unusual circumstances, but I've seen where we actually have programs to help other people. But when you see the person next to you, it's important that we understand he's not only our neighbor, but our brother. When Christ came, we know that he was incarnated. He was transformed. Martha, in one of the Sabbath school lessons, said that it was painful for God to be transformed where the divinity is hidden and is enclosed with the humanity. And that made us brothers. He is the only way between us and God, his Father, because he took our form. And I think, you know, again, it's so hard for me to look and try to comprehend that. But I also look at the love he had to have, that before the world was created, this was already planned. It was already, you know, in the works. And it says that Lucifer was jealous. He sees the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost having these meetings, him not realizing it's about him. And because they know the beginning from the end, he was already making plans on how to save man. We know it also because of Genesis 3:15, very famous, where the serpent is going to bite Christ's foot, but in the end, the foot is going to crush. Amen. And that's that. We're looking for that time where all this is going to have an end.
Yes.
I want that new body. But we got to prepare our minds now. We got to prepare our hearts now. We got to love our brothers and sisters next to us before we can reach out and love others outside of us. As Monique's about, in our own backyard. You know, there's a big work to do right here in Lansingburg. Let's look at Luke 15. And we're going to read 11 through 32. And this is the parable of the lost son. It says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his own belly with the husk and that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." So you can imagine this guy, riotous living. I can relate to that. Go out there and just your youth. You go out there and you're doing all sorts of things. And at the end, if that's not worse, he runs out of money and then God sends a famine. Now he's really desperate and, you know, he'll do anything. And he's starving to the point where he'll eat anything. And God is, you know, again, trying to teach us something behind us. And it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had," here's that word again, "compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." That is typical love, if you know, of a father who loves his son despite what he did. And it's powerful, the imagery that he gives, that he's so happy just to see him that he's just hugging him and kissing him. But it doesn't stop there. It says, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in the sight, heaven and in thy sight, and am no longer to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robes and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." What does that remind you of? I'm even going beyond that. I'm thinking of when God comes to get us, He can't wait to put his arms and kisses and yes, have a feast and a banquet and, you know, wow. It's like, you know, he sees something in this particular person, despite his past and what he's done, that person came, repented, and he says, "Man, I'm not worthy." But he didn't even get a chance to say that. And he did after the father did what? hugged him and kissed him. You know, the Father, we got to understand that this love is beyond our comprehension. We see, we hear. God has given us many, many illustrations of that, but we cannot understand it truly, plain and clear to sinners, wiped out. And when we live and go to heaven, it's going to be a banquet for eternity.
Amen. Yes.
It's going to be a love and a kiss for eternity. You know, because that's what God's original plan was, to bring us to a point of understanding the great love he has for us. But the Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robes, put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand and shoes and on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Here comes a little monkey wrench now being thrown in. And it says, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came, he drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Why would the brother be angry? If anything, he should be happy that, hey, his brother's back, and he has some help to help him in the field now. He's not going to be, you know, there by himself, doing all the labor, all the hard work. But that wasn't the case. He was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He wouldn't even come to the party to greet his own brother. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years I have served thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now, I detect a little jealousy there. I don't know why he's jealous. He's rich, wealthy, and anytime he wanted a fatted cat, I'm sure he could let's eat a fatted cat. I mean, let's get busy. There was no restraints there. But as soon as thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for himself a fatted calf. He couldn't see the rationale. This guy floundered all your money, all your goods, all your wealth, and he has the nerve to come back, and you, in turn, have a party for him. You know, he just, it's one of those things. We don't understand God. I mean, he just does things that's is beyond us. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and it is found. That only, you know, that again is profound. God, and it says this in heaven, and in, I've heard this through the spirit of prophecies, that when one sinner comes in, what happens in heaven?
They
rejoice.
It's a party.
But remember, that's not always the case here on earth. We got to really, you know, look at it from God's perspective. And he's giving such a beautiful story that, you know, it's a favorite. I mean, you can't tell this story to anybody that doesn't know it. It's one of the things that we remember. Our brother is anybody, anybody who is in need. I remember Joy's not here today, so I hope she excuses me, but she was homeless. I don't know about y'all, but not too many people I know would take a homeless person and bring him to their house and give him a place to stay till they're able to get back on their feet. To me, it takes a special individual. God has to be working in that person's heart and that person's mind to be able to have that mercy and compassion to take someone like that, because I know it would be extremely difficult. And when I heard about it, all I could say is praise be to God, how God can use us in very trying circumstances. I know that it's scary to do that on the outside. You know, you've heard a story where people have taken people in, and the next thing you know, these people have killed everybody in the house. So, you know, I think God gives us discernment. He puts people in our path. He gives us wisdom and knowledge in how to handle certain situations. Thank you, Brother Tom, for being an example to us. I got another. I like God's parable, so I'm going to continue. Let's look at Matthew 20, 1 through 16. The worker in the vineyard. And if you notice, this is related, all these themes I'm bringing is also related to our Sabbath school. Our Sabbath school, for the first time that I've never seen a Sabbath school really get into present day life situations. And then, you know, we usually up here in the pulpit do that. But this is the first time I've seen Sabbath school relate to themes that never really talked openly. But they pick someone good that says we got to talk real in this real time, in this real age, so that people can understand that we are brothers and sisters and we got to look out for each other.
Yes.
We're here to protect each other. We're here to love and look out for one another. And here's an example of how God uses all of us at certain times of our life. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is in a household, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." Now, I know you'll watch the news, and I've known you're seeing movies where you see a lot of the people on the strips of certain areas where trucks come in and say, "We're hiring your five, your six people. We got, you know, a farm here, and we need you to do this." Migrants, right? They're all migrants. They're all poor. They're all in need. They're all... And here comes the man in the vineyard trying to look for help. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace." So here goes some other people still hanging around looking for work. I think after the first vehicle that passed by, I would have went home and said, "That's it." But there's people that were still there. There's people that still needed the work. And God knows those people. So what does he do? He said, "And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. and they went their way. Now that's interesting, because he did not, the first crew early in the morning that was there that he picked, he gave them a set price. But now he's asking others to come in. What if I feel like paying you is what I'm going to pay you, period. If you want to work, come work. So it took a lot of faith and trust from these migrant workers to say, all right, I got to trust you. I got no job. I got no food. I'm poor. All right, I got to trust. Whatever you decide to give me, so be it. So they go on a merry way, working the fields. Again, he went out on a 6th hour. In the 9th hour, and did likewise. And in about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why standest ye here all day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when eve was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, call all the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last into the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Now, that's awesome. That brings us hope. Very similar to the prodigal son, but in this case, you see God, whether you came in the last hour or yes, whether you was there all along,
yes,
God has a reward.
Yes.
He says, when I come, what?
And
that could be good or bad, whatever the case might be. But we as Christians interpret it as good. We're looking for that moment and that time. We want to be there. We want our new bodies. You know, again, God uses these little parables to prepare us now before receiving that body, before having that feast, before having that hug and kiss. And it goes on. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Now, I can see their point of view. But again, we don't have the eyes of Christ.
No,
we don't. It's Christ who sees beyond all this stuff, and he's going to reward us. Now, some of us are going to have 1 star. Some of us are going to have thousands of stars. You know, evangelists constantly, there'll be 3,000-4,000 that get baptized at a shot. You know, you go to these foreign countries, you hear that. I remember in the 50s and 60s when we had these tents. And we did tent meetings. I don't know if you remember that, but those were powerful back then. And people used to get baptized left and right. You don't see a lot of that happening now. You see still evangelism here and there, and a couple of hundred here and there getting baptized. There's no doubt that we're getting towards the close of time and that 11th hour, and that soon God is going to come with his reward. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be the first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. So there's no guarantee what stage you're in, whether you're in the first crew, second crew, third crew, or the last crew. There's no guarantee. You know why? Because God is the giver.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And God is the one that's going to bring his reward with him.
Amen.
Accordingly. Now, I can't think of a better person. Can we call God a person? He's man. Or a better God than our Jesus, who took the form of us and died on the cross for us, so that we can all have that opportunity and be with him. I mean, I trust and I give my life to him. I mean, as simple as that, because I know he's going to do what's right. And I don't trust myself, so I say, God, take care of it, whatever it is.
Amen.
And you know, he does. We might not see it, we might not understand it, because we don't have yet that, those same eyes that he has, that same, the way he perceives the goodness and what's good in us. And there's nobody that's good. What does he say? Only who? Only his Father.
Yeah.
I mean, and you have to give that weight and merit. God was devising a plan, and it meant the sacrifice of his own son. You know, that's like, wow, how can you even think? Why couldn't someone else do it? We hear that all the time. Why couldn't it have been an angel? Or you created a special being just for that purpose? But the cost to uphold God's law. What law is that? The love of God first, and the love of what? Our neighbor, our brothers, as ourselves. God had to uplift that law, and the price was his son. And Jesus loved us so much, the Father didn't have to ask. He stepped up to the plate immediately and said, Father, I'm here. I love them as much as you love them. And I want to be there for them. Okay. Continue with another parable. Let's look at Luke 14, 16 to 24. Again, this is the parable of the Great Supper. A certain man made a great supper and bade many. Let me start from the beginning, 15. And when one of them that sat at the meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. Now, this person is complimenting Jesus. He's saying, boy, that'll be a great day when we can sit down and actually eat. And yet, God doesn't insult them and get it into all this. He goes with another little story. That again, you got to read in between the lines. And it was meant for him, but it was meant for all of us. And he says, I lost my place here. I heard 16.
17.
Where am I? Okay. And when he has said to these things, all his advisory were, am I reading correctly?
14, 17.
Oh, the page turned on me. I'm sorry. 14:17. And sent his servant in supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuses. I've been there. I know I've been invited here and there, and I'm always making excuses. And, you know, God and his loving mercies still reaches out.
Amen.
And calls us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's telling this person, "Come, for all these things are ready." And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray that thee have me excused." Hey, when you make an investment, you want to keep track of your investments, right? And even though there's a big feast going on, you want to make sure that your investments is well taken care of.
Yeah.
We've been there.
Yeah.
We know what that's about. Oh. And another said, "I bought 5 yokes and oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." So this guy's going to inspect what he's buying. He's going to buy it, but he wants to make sure that it's worth the money he's paying and he doesn't have time to go again to the supper. And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." I think that's the best excuse out of all. Give me, you know, you're getting married and you don't have time to be going to supper. Now, again, the statement started, boy, wouldn't it be great the day that we're in heaven, eating in heaven with our Father. And yet he's telling this person, "That's what you're telling me, but I'm going to tell you a story. There's people who's going to make excuses because of this, that, not to come to the supper, whatever it may be." But it doesn't stop there. "So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly onto the streets and lanes of the cities and bring hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind.'" Now, he's really going overboard. "Your guys, because of whatever business you have, don't want to come? Later for your guys." Simple as that. Later. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to have me this merry party and I'm going to reach everyone out there. Go find them. And it continues. And the servant said, "Lord, it's done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." Whoa! Is that hard to fathom?
Yes.
You know, and yet it isn't hard to fathom. Martha said last Sabbath school lesson that a third of the angels was evicted from heaven. And there's a void. Guess who's going to fill that void?
Yes.
Every single one of us is going to fill that void. So one third of the angels. Let's start doing some calculating because I have no idea what one third would be. 10,000 times 10,000 and 10,000, you know, and it keeps on. So you're talking, if you got the right math, it's in the trillions. Probably bigger than what our debt is. It's huge. And yet God is calling and calling.
Amen.
And the Lord said unto his servant, "Go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come, in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bitten shall taste of my supper. Now, again, he's giving a mild rebuke to this man at a table. And I believe he was trying to tell, whether you call it the Pharisees or the Sadducees or put anybody, even in our time and era, because that could be applied anywhere, that because you did not carry this message, I have a people who I'm going to get to cover that. Mm-hmm. And who did he get? The Gentiles. Who's the Gentiles? We are. Right?
Yes.
We were then chosen because they didn't want to come to the supper and they were making excuses and they were not doing their job and going out there gathering the people. So he says, hey, when Stephen was stoned to death, all tables was off with the Jewish nation, and now the word was going where? All over the world. All over the world. Now, God always wanted all of us to be part of that from the very beginning. The fact that the Jewish nation got conceited or whatever, I don't know, you could put a lot of things that happened there, why they didn't follow through. If anything, they did what? They killed, right? There's another parable about the husbandman going out and he's in a foreign land and he sends servants. Mm-hmm. And the servants come and what happens? They get killed.
Yep.
You're talking about prophets, right? Prophets would come and they were getting killed left and right. So God has always wanted his people to know and for us to be part of that kingdom. And a lot of times we don't realize that God is doing everything and letting us know everything that there is to know of the urgency. I believe, I don't know if you all believe it, but we're in the 11th hour. Mm-hmm. And just look at the news. You don't have to take my word. It says as the leaves turn what? Start turning green? Mm-hmm. What does it say? My coming is close. You're going to have signs. You're going to have, and he's giving you all kinds of signs. I'm paraphrasing. Knowledge should go to and fro. It's going to go all over. Boy, what's happening in the Middle East, man? They can't no longer close those satellites. There's the cell phones. There's many ways to get the message out of what's going abroad. And I mean, I thought Obama was a big deal, him coming to be president. I'm seeing the history in a new making. What is that leading to? I don't know. I'm scared to think one way. I hope it's the other way. It's a good thing to see freedom spread. But we all want to be in that supper. We all want to be there when God comes. I got carpal tunnel. I got tennis elbow. I got bursitis on my arm. My kneecap can't went out of joint, and my legs are still swollen. God, I want a new body. I want to be young, you know, and stay perfect the way God planned it.
Yes.
You know? But the perfection in the kingdom starts here.
Yeah.
And here. And God sometimes, as Pedro prayed, he's got to bring his low sometimes before he can say, you've heard that the unknown author of this particular story about, I was walking and it was two he saw these two steps, and then at one point he only saw one step, and he's asking, you know, what is this? This is my son. This is when you was down and out, and I picked you up, and I carried you. I'm the one that took care of you throughout this whole time. You couldn't do it on your own. There was no way you can do it on your own. I don't know who wrote that, but boy, that was deep. All right, we're going to have one last one. Let's look at Matthew 24, 32 to 35. Matthew 24. And it says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and put it forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my word shall not pass away. All right, these are not my words. These are God's words. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we want to thank you because without you, we would have been doomed. Thank you for giving your son to us, to die on a cross for us, for going through what he did to try to spare us at the end when he comes for us. But we shouldn't be disillusioned either. We're going to have to go through similar trials and tribulations as your son did. But we know that he's there carrying us and taking us all the way. Don't worry about what you got to say or what you're going to do. You're going to be there putting the words in our mouth to share. Lord, I want to thank you because I have a family here. I have brothers and sisters here. Thank God for my family. Because I don't know where I would be now. If I would have been successful in taking that rope and throwing it overboard, I wouldn't be here sharing, having this opportunity that you've given me to share your promises of the great love that you have for us and the depth that you'll go to bring us back to you, Lord. Thank you. Be with us throughout this Sabbath. Bless every single one of us. And may your love protrude to us that we can show your love to our brothers and sisters in all walks of life. Because you send us that commission. You send us to go through the highways and byways, through the streets, through the gutters, whoever they may be at, reach every single one. If we truly want to go home, we got to accomplish this. Because you said your word shall not be void. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.